And now on Arts Sound, I'd like to welcome on the line Quentin Angus, who's coming to play at the Street Theatre this Saturday night. Quentin, thanks for talking with Arts Sound.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you.
A broad question. When did you decide to become a jazz musician and composer?
Yeah, I think I was always interested in composing since I was very, very young and first started playing music. And I went through a lot of different phases. I used to compose music on my computer using digital audio workstations when I was into dance music. I played in funk bands and pop bands and neo-soul bands. I was always interested in the writing aspect, so that's been a big part of just who I am. And then in terms of getting into jazz specifically, when I went to university, there were only two options at the time. It was either study classical or study jazz, and jazz was the closest to my popular music interest. I like to improvise, so that's what I did. And then throughout my time studying jazz at university, that was when I developed a real love for it and a passion for it and ultimately turned it into my primary genre.
But it wasn't just traditional jazz, was it? From what I've heard, you listened to some jazz guitarists like Pat Metheny, John Scofield, Kenny Burrell, and they left you cold.
Correct. And that's a big part of what this CD is. It's about kind of reconnecting to why I play music in the first place, why I listen to music, and what initially drew me to liking jazz and the art form of music more generally. Because you're correct. When I first heard some of the more contemporary jazz guitarists, my ears weren't attuned to those sounds yet, and it honestly sounded just like a big old mess. I remember my guitar teacher at the time, he kept giving me CDs, and he was saying, oh, you need to check out this person, you need to check out this person, they're so amazing. Yeah, I just didn't like the sound of it. The person who was my gateway was Wes Montgomery, and if you listen to his music, he has a very obvious way of communicating emotions. He has very typical kind of question and answer, call and response phrase structure. He leaves a lot of space. He communicates basic emotions that I think that anyone who's looking to listen to music can connect with. And that was what initially drew me in.
Now, you left Australia in your 20s and you're an associate professor of music at the City University of New York and a very active academic. How important is the academic side to your composing music?
Interesting question. I would say initially my earlier albums were very, very influenced by academia and research, and because my PhD was based around polyrhythms, I collaborated a lot with drummer Ari Honig, who I've done some touring with and some recording with. He's one of the sort of innovators of this new modern approach. And so I think initially the first couple of albums, sort of beginning career, was very focused on that. But I think now I'm drifting further away from that. That being said, I am a professor, as you mentioned, and I do go to conferences and present research, and it's just part and parcel of what I do. So it's definitely still there, but I would say a little bit less important than it was initially.
As we're speaking, we're sort of alluding to your most recent album, your fourth album, The State of Things, which again, you're kind of alluding is a bit of a change for you. It's apparently the first album you've had with lyrics and vocals prominently on the album.
When I was younger, I was less worried about who my audience was or who my music was for. It was kind of just the art above everything else, or almost like the academia above all else. It was just kind of a pursuit of these ideas and this research. It was very research, almost like a scientist kind of figuring things out. But I think as I get older, music is an interesting field, especially when you put research in there, because it also has to be, or should be, for someone, right? There should be an audience for your music. And I've really done a lot of thinking about who my music is for, who my audience is. And I think that on a fundamental level, I would love if, you know, my family and like my parents and my wife and my daughter, I would love for them to be able to understand my music and get some enjoyment out of it, even if it is a genre that they don't listen to. And one of the easiest ways, I think, to connect to the modern day listener is if you have lyrics and have a singer, because 99% of music, at least in popular culture, has that at the forefront. So that was something that I wanted to explore. And I also felt like I was able to tell stories about my move to New York, about my experiences there, stories about the world, just including lyrics. It's much easier to get that message across, which is harder to do when it's just instrumental music.
And opening up the accessibility of the album, is that why you've included cover songs on the album like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and What a Wonderful World from Louis Armstrong?
Yeah, I think for two reasons. The first reason would be, or maybe second reason would be, the fact that it does connect with audience members. I think, especially like thinking back to my earlier career, I was less likely to play covers, even if they weren't of well-known songs. I was kind of into exclusively playing original music. But now I think it's a great, if no one has heard you before or heard your original music, it's a way for them to connect to you and understand your music and your art if there's kind of this doorway in. And I think that if it's a well-known song that the majority of people have heard, it's even easier for them to kind of have that doorway to enter in. And then the first reason for me was I personally love those songs that you mentioned, like What a Wonderful World, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Like, these are songs that I've, Pure Imagination, I've listened to them and fallen in love with them when I was a kid. I have arranged them so that if you listen to the cuts on the album or if you come to the live show, there's definitely some different things going on, but the basic melody and the idea of the song is still communicated.
I've read, reported that it's also influenced by you becoming a first-time father.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And there is actually, there's one song that we're going to be playing at the street, playing on the tour, which is named after my daughter. Her name is Myla, so the song is called Myla. And we will actually be performing that. It's not on the CD, but that's definitely been something that's been front of mind, made me think about the world differently, becoming a father. Yeah, even just what I was mentioning before about who my music is for, I think that if I can't even connect with my own family or my daughter or my wife, I think it's nice for them to be able to understand and enjoy the music that I make.
Let's talk about the performance, which, as I said in the intro, is happening this Saturday night at the Street Theatre. What can we expect?
First and foremost, you can expect to hear the album in its entirety. So there'll be the full album played, all 8 tracks, so the arrangements and the originals. But there will be some additional songs. There is the additional original song that I just mentioned called Myla. That's going to be a piano and guitar duet. And then we have other songs as well, a couple of originals and a couple of covers of different popular songs. The one other thing that I would say is the band, I'm super excited to be playing with them. So you have kind of some of the leaders on their instruments around Australia. We have Joe Laurie on voice, Steve Barry on piano, Sam Anning on bass, and Ben Vanderwall on drums. So I think that anyone who's a drummer or a singer or a piano player or bass player should be excited to just hear them, because they are such wonderful musicians. I can't wait to see them interpret my music.
Quentin Angus, thanks for talking with ArtSound.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tim. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for the ArtSound team. And I can't wait to be performing at the Street this weekend.